What is up, guys? Welcome back to another Innovation Through Insights episode. Today we have Max, otherwise known as Marketing Max for his personal brand. He shares exactly how he made 40 million for his clients to eventually selling that agency last year and moving on, and the process and the why behind why he sold that agency. And he shares much, much more in this podcast. So if you enjoy the episode, be sure to drop a rating on Apple Music, on Spotify. And yeah, without further ado, let's jump into the episode. What's good? Yeah, I was checking out your personal brand the other day, and I came across your TikTok, and I'd seen a video of yours before. Like, I think it was the marketing examples one, which just went viral. So how is that going? What's your experience with that personal brand? TikTok.
Yeah, so the story is last summer of 2021, my friend and I challenged each other to see who could get more followers on TikTok in 60 days. And we have to post one video every day for 60 days. And I was going to be the marketing guy because that was kind of my background. And I already branded myself as Marketing Max on Twitter. So I would talk about marketing, and he's in real estate, so he would talk about real estate every day. And the first like 3 or 4 weeks, I maybe got a couple viral videos, like 50,000 views. One got like 200 or 300,000 views. And then about a month in, about halfway through, I had this one video go completely viral. I went from like 15 or 20,000 followers to 40 or 50,000 followers pretty much within like 2 days, 3 days. And back then it was so much easier to blow up on TikTok. It was so much easier to go viral, a lot less people competing, for the attention and for the eyeballs. But, yeah, I got a ton of email signups for my newsletter, which I didn't even have back then. I just had like a link in bio that was like, give me your email and I'll send you like my 5 favorite marketing books. And I wouldn't send anyone anything. I was just trying to get more followers than my friend did at that point. He ended up getting a lot more followers than I did, though, because his niche is much better suited for TikTok. He talks a lot about Airbnb investing and multifamily real estate investing. And people just love that because it's like how to get rich quick or how to, you know, have passive income or how to make some side money. But my advice and my content was all around marketing and cool websites that I think marketers should use and how to optimize your Facebook ad account and everything else. But yeah, that was kind of the story or the genesis behind that video. And after the 60 days, I think I had about 50,000 followers. He had about like 75 or 80,000 followers. He's kept up with it a lot more than I have. He's posted, I would say, at least once a day since then, which was, you know, almost a year ago, maybe like 9 months ago, 7, 8, 9 months ago. But yeah, that's kind of the story. I fell more in love with Twitter. I love Twitter. I think the community is more in line with what I want out of social media. As much as I hate that term, social media, it's I just resonate better with that community. And I think the quality of the audience is a lot better on Twitter. So I spend a lot more of my time there. But yeah, that's the story behind the viral TikTok and the personal brand Marketing Max.
What was the learning curve like? Was there a long learning curve with TikTok? Did you adapt?
Every day. I always recommend for people that do want to go viral on TikTok or, you know, have a presence there, as much as this sounds crazy, like calendar block 30 minutes every day to watch TikTok. Like my best TikToks come from watching other people's TikToks and getting inspired with a similar trend or with a similar hook or with a similar, you know, cadence or pace, or even similar topics. So I just recommend people watch TikTok. And, you know, for the first 2 or 3 weeks, my goal was just to watch 30 minutes to an hour of TikTok every single day. And of course, I wanted to follow other marketers, other tech people, other entrepreneurs in the space to see what they're doing. But, you know, when I really want to record a lot of TikToks now, I'll literally calendar block an hour to just sit and watch TikToks. And then I'll DM myself. A lot of people don't know this on TikTok. You could DM videos to yourself. So I'll DM the TikToks as I'm scrolling through that I want to mimic the trend of or the hook or the topic. And then, you know, I'll schedule an hour the next day and go through all of the videos that I sent myself. And then I'll just record my own version of whatever it is that other people are doing.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, I mean, if we go back now, like, how did this whole online marketing, which specifically, where did you start when you got started with all of this? What was the first like gateway for you?
Yeah, so the story goes that I was working on Wall Street in New York, helping early stage companies raise capital, hated my job, failed the Series 7, which is the exam that I needed to take to become an investment banker and, you know, really make some good money as an investment banker on Wall Street. At that same time, one of my clients asked me to run her Facebook ads, and I thought that was kind of random, but she said, you know, I'm really good at storytelling. I'm helping her craft her pitch to investors. She thought I would be good at helping her craft her pitch to potential audience, like to her potential audience or to her potential customers. So she gave me $2,000 in ad spend. I turned that $2,000 in ad spend into $20,000 in revenue. This was like 2016, 2017. Immediately got hooked on Facebook ads, right? I delivered a 10x ROAS in like 2 weeks. I could directly see the impact that my work had on her business instead of helping her, you know, raise $5 million for her Series A at the time. And I just signed up a couple other clients, found similar successes. Back then it was a lot easier to generate, you know, a really high return with Facebook ads. And then I quit investment banking and started an ad agency. So over the course of the last 5 years, I've built you know, a seven-figure ad agency, worked with more than 120 or 130 brands, driven, you know, well over $40 million in revenue for all of those clients, as well as some personal clients that I've taken on one-on-one. And I've always dabbled in you know, tweeting and TikToking and even Instagramming. Like when I was first starting my agency, I would record an Instagram story every day just for my friends and like for my family and friends who followed me on Instagram. Just like, hey, like today we signed a client, today we lost a client. And I would just like record a story, you know, on my personal Instagram in in the early days of the startup, just kind of updating people. And that's how I got, you know, clients and referrals. And oh, I have a friend that has a friend that has a friend who needs this, or that's how I got some of my first few employees. Like, oh, my friend's looking for a job, or my friend's looking for an internship. And as I got more time, as I was able to hire more people and free myself up more from you know, from doing the day-to-day of the agency, I would post more on TikTok, I'd post more on Instagram, post more on LinkedIn. Got a lot of clients from LinkedIn over the years. And it's just like sharing experiences. I don't know. It's like I love it. And Twitter right now is just my absolute favorite. Sorry if I'm going on a tangent, but that's kind of that.
No, that's all good. That actually leads me on to the next question, just about your personal brand then, because since you're running an ad agency on the side, like what, or to, with it in a way, what is your why behind doing it?
I would say it's three things. One, it helps generate business and leads for my agency, although I sold the agency. So it's not the number one reason now anymore, but you know, it's a great business lead gen generator for my agency. Two, I genuinely enjoy it. Like I'm a creative person. You can see behind me, like I have a drum set. Like I love music. I love like painting and drawing and you know, I just fancy myself a creative person. So it's really a creative outlet for me is I would say the second reason. And then the third is just like side money, like side income. I now have a newsletter that I will eventually monetize through ads or through some sort of like premium version of it. Some brands very rarely pay me to do a TikTok about their brand or about their product. And then I also have a little online course now. I don't promote all that much, but you know, it's just an easy way to make side money. So it's kind of all three of those things.
And for someone like, what kind of person do you think should start a personal brand? Is it like a creative person in that sense?
I think it's easier to start a personal brand if you're creative. You know, a lot of the times, like my very creative friends and I talk about this a lot. A lot of the times, you either wake up every day and you're really creative and you might record five TikToks and you have a bunch of ideas to like write Twitter threads and, you know, record a podcast episode or do whatever. And other days, you wake up and you're just, you're not creative. Like ideas don't come to you, ideas don't flow. You go for a walk and still, like, no ideas will come to you. I think it's significantly easier if you're a creative person and you have, you know, more days where you're creative and ideas come to you than not. But anyone that wants to start a personal brand can, because I think the biggest misconception is that you have to be an expert to start a personal brand and to make money from a personal brand. That's not true at all. You just have to know slightly more than a large group of people. So, you know, you don't have to be the world's greatest guitar player to build a following on social and to monetize that following about how to play guitar. If you know how to play, you know, the five basic chords or whatever, and you know, you can package that up into a neat little following, then you can make six figures a year doing that, you know, or like, you don't have to be the world's greatest basketball player. If you really know how to, you know, have a great form with your jump shot, right, you could be known as like the jump shot guy or the free throw guy, right? Like, you don't need to be an expert. You just need to know a little bit more than a large audience of people, than a large group of people. And there are some niches that are just like, that just print money, that's just cake. You know, like my friend in the real estate niche, like everyone's always looking to get into real estate. You know, it's relatively easy. You don't need a whole lot of money to get started, especially the way that he does it. You don't need to be all that smart to do it either. And so a lot of people are interested in that. So that's an easy one to build a following from and monetize. And you also don't need to be an expert, right? Like, you don't have to have, you know, $5 bajillion worth of real estate to be an expert. You just need to know how to analyze a deal properly or how to get a bank loan properly. Like, you can niche down within a lot of these sectors or a lot of these niches and go even further down the niche. Like, a lot of my friends tell me, and again, tell me if I'm going off on a tangent or if I'm crazy here, shut me up. But, you know, a lot of my friends tell me that like Marketing Max is even too broad. Like, I should pick, I'm the Facebook ads guy or I'm the TikTok guy or I'm the email marketing guy. Like, a lot of my friends think that the Marketing Max is too broad. You know, I kind of want to prove them wrong. It's like my biggest motivation these days is to prove my friends wrong, that I can make more money with my personal brand these days from a broad audience. It's just marketing than like, oh, I help founders market their startups, or, oh, I help, you know, e-commerce brands in marketing. I like being kind of a general marketer. But, you know, it's a lot easier to grow when you are super niche. Like, there's these guys on Twitter now that are really niche, like how to quit, you know, your addiction to alcohol, or not even alcohol, like how to quit your addiction to whiskey. I've seen a guy that's like, you know, like super niche, you know, and obviously like there's like the TikTok influencer guy and the, you know, the how to blow up on Instagram lady, or like what, like guy or girl, what, it doesn't matter. But, you know, like picking a niche is definitely the easiest way to go about it. But I think anyone that knows slightly more about one topic than a large group of people can and should start a niche, or can and should start a personal brand if they want to and if they have the time and energy to do it.
Yeah, and going back to kind of the start of the conversation, if you're not like a naturally creative person, how would you go about that when, like, you know, creating content for your personal brand? You're struggling one day, you know, you mentioned you go for a walk, still nothing's working, nothing's coming out of your brain really to creating content on paper or like videos. How would you approach that?
I think step one is just picking the medium that you want to create content for. Like, if you're really good with Canva, you might pick Instagram. If you're really good in front of a camera, you might pick TikTok. You know, if you're a really good writer, you might pick Twitter. Pick your one channel and then follow people in your niche and just get ideas. Like, monkey see, monkey do. You know, see someone else post you know, a thread a day or a thread a week on Twitter and see if they have kind of a template. See if they use emojis in their first tweet. See if they, you know, have on average 5 tweets in a thread, 23 tweets in a thread. Just like learn from other people on the platform that you natively want to create content for is what I would say. And then beyond that, like, you don't need to start posting content on day one. Like, I'm totally revamping my LinkedIn strategy. For the last 2 weeks, I've been putting together a bunch of LinkedIn posts. So now I have a bank of like 50 LinkedIn posts that I can schedule out for the first month or 2 months. That's going to buy me, you know, a month or 2 months worth of not having to create content or come up with ideas every day. So I think, yeah, if it's like step by step, step one, pick your platform that you like creating content for. Step two, follow people in the niche that you want to be in. Step three, literally like take a notepad, right? Like take a notepad and literally like write down like, you know, like what they're doing, what you like of theirs that you might use, what you don't like of theirs that you don't want to use. And then from there, just like create that bank of first, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 posts to start from. That's what I would say.
That's so true. And also just moving back towards your agency. So you ran it for like 5 years then? So what made you want to sell it, or what like clicked to make you decide to finally sell it?
Yeah, there's a long list of reasons why I wanted to sell. I think if it came down to two things, one, just burnout, having, you know, 20 clients at a time and 10 to 15 team members at a time, is a lot of work, and it's not exactly what I want to be doing with my time every day. Like I want to be solving other problems and fixing other problems inside of businesses, and even inside of my own business. So I think number one, just like burnout. And number two, I always knew that I would never run an agency my whole life. I have aspirations to do a lot of other things, a lot of other projects, mostly in the software space. And so I knew that I would never be able to fulfill my aspirations of the other things that I wanted to do if I still owned my agency. So I played around with the idea of hiring a CEO or promoting someone internally to CEO and stepping away and letting them just kind of run the business and me just holding on to it as an asset and cash flowing from it. But I think, you know, number one, I was just burnt out after 5 years. I had a business partner for the first kind of year and a half, and that was, you know, kind of stressful. He was great. We're still really good friends, but just, you know, we didn't see the same vision for the company going forward. And so figuring out how I was going to maintain ownership of the company and he would leave, that was kind of a big stress ball. And then just clients and typical agency life was very stressful. So yeah, number one, just burnout. And then number two, I knew I wouldn't be able to go fulfill the other things that I really wanted to do without going and actually selling the agency and pursuing those things full time.
Yeah, because I see that like as a problem a lot. People run agencies because, I mean, that's why probably a lot of them get aspired to do like e-com, for example, because, I mean, agency work can be boring, but it's like an amazing cash flow vehicle, right? It can be like boring. It can be like just doing the same thing, and like you said, get burnt out. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in that situation right now feel like they're doing the same thing. What would you recommend there? Either like just kind of trust the process, or like build to where you have a sellable asset and then you can move on to do other things?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question to answer because everyone's different. Like, I still have one-on-one clients now. Like, I work with, you know, a small handful of clients every month. Sometimes I'm running their ads. Sometimes I'm helping them with just like growth, email marketing. Like, I'm a full stack marketer, so I can help them with everything. It's not that I don't like having clients. It's just the work and the amount of problems that come up and the type of problems that come up with running an agency. So I think every agency owner needs to have a talk with themselves and figure out exactly what they want and what they like doing. The generic answer that I would give to every agency owner is just hire yourself out of whatever you don't like doing. So like, I loved sales. I loved bringing in new clients. I still do love it. And I'm helping the agency that acquired us bring in new clients because I just love sales. After a while, I didn't like buying the Facebook ads. I didn't like, you know, coming up with the ads, getting approval from the clients and the ads. So I hired people, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the agency, I had like 12, 13 full-time employees. They handled the client servicing side. So I hired myself out of the stuff I don't like to do so I could just do the sales stuff all day. And that's really the trick to not burning out fast, because every agency owner burns out. It's just a matter of time. Some people takes them a year or two. Other people takes them 20 years. You know, my threshold was right around that 5 year mark, but I would say just hire yourself out of the things you don't want to do, reinvest the profit back into the business to hire really talented people, to do the things that you don't want to do. And then just stick to the things that you enjoy doing.
And when did it really start like to take off for you? Cause you mentioned it was a 5 year period. Was it like one of those, you know, agencies that took off in the first year, or was it like iteration across like 1, 2, 3 years?
Yeah, you know? It definitely didn't take off in the first year. A lot of learning experiences, a lot of like if I could go back and do it all over again, I mean, my agency would be worth a lot more than what it was when I sold it. But there were kind of like three main growth spurts that happened with the agency over the course of the 5 years. The first growth spurt was when I read this book called Built to Sell, which talks all about how you niche down your product service offering, niche down your audience, and really build a business that is sellable, that can operate and run and work without you. So that was kind of the first growth spurt. I'd say that's about like 2 years in. About 6 to 9 months after that, the next growth spurt came when I tried this little Google Ads hack where I would bid on our competitors' keywords on Google. Like, you know, we'd make a list of like our top two or three agencies that we would lose business to. And I'd make it so that anytime someone Googled those agencies, we'd come up first. We were able to, you know, almost double our revenue within a month or two just by generating an insane amount of leads that were totally, you know, our ideal customer profile, our ideal client profile. So that helped us really go from, I'd say, like three employees to like seven, like six or seven. And then the third growth spurt came when I cracked Facebook ads as a lead gen source. And that probably took us from like seven employees to, 12, 13 employees. I figured out how to generate, you know, leads for our agency at like $50 cost per booked call and, $300 cost per new client acquisition. And, you know, we were charging $5,000 a month with at least a 50% profit margin. So the return was just stupid. And I was just trying to spend as much money as I possibly could with Facebook ads. And those are kind of the three main growth spurts. So one, the book and really like narrowing down our focus and our offering. And then the other two were just once I could crack a lead gen channel, that's really what made it work.
Yeah. Wait, talking more about that book. So it was kind of helping you, you know, like you said, niche down and really, really niching down, right? Was that the whole premise of the book in a way?
Yeah. I mean, I recommend every agency owner or anyone that's thinking of starting an agency, read that book. It's the book that's had the most impact on my life by far. If I never read that book, I would probably still be offering three or four different services. I'd probably still, there'd be a lot. Like, I don't know if I ever would have gotten to the success that I would have if it wasn't for that book. So it really taught me to niche down, hire people, remove myself from the business, how to charge properly, how to differentiate myself or like my agency from the other agencies out there. I recommend every agency owner at any size read that book.
And yeah, like in 2022, what do you now think of Facebook ads? Do you think it's still an opportunity for someone to start, or do you think that the CPM is just way too high and for like a new agency and they should go sort of elsewhere for ads, running ads?
Well, if the question is, what do I think of Facebook ads as an agency service? I would not recommend a brand new agency do Facebook ads. I think there's a lot of other really good plays for agencies or a lot of other channels for agencies to specialize in. For brands, I still think for certain brands, Facebook ads crush. Like I have a handful of one-on-one clients and I have a lot of clients through the agency still that I kind of keep in touch with that crush it on the back of Facebook ads. But in terms of, you know, the agency services, yeah, I wouldn't touch Facebook ads with a 10-foot pole if I'm a brand new agency or if I'm just starting out as an agency owner.
Where would you go to then nowadays?
There's a lot of really interesting channels. I would maybe specialize in ad buying, but in other channels. So everyone's now going into the TikTok game. It's already kind of saturated. And it's really hard to find success unless you're working with brands that either have money or have their own UGC creators. I think it'd be really interesting to create an agency that specializes in Pinterest ads, for example, and that like is the absolute best and knows, you know, the perfect templates for Pinterest ads and goes to every fashion brand and say like, hey, you know, we have these amazing like 10 case studies in Pinterest ads. It's an untapped market. It's an untapped audience. I think you could do the same thing with Snapchat. I think you could do the same thing with Twitter. But in terms of regular agency stuff, I think email marketing is probably like the most under-tapped or like biggest missed opportunity for new agency owners, because it's the easiest to show success for. If you can find a big enough client that has traffic coming to their website, it's very easy to increase their revenue, and it's very easy to make money as an email agency owner. I think there's a lot of stuff to do with like community building. So I've never seen like a productized community building agency that can help you stand up like a membership in a Facebook group or a loyalty program to get like, you know, hey, spend $300 and get $20 off and you'll get access to our Facebook group of other people who are interested in the same thing, that blah, 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 blah. I think there's just a lot of opportunity outside of it. I can make a long list, but those are kind of where I would play if I was starting an agency over again.
Pinterest ads, email marketing, and like community building, would that all be for like, you know, e-com brands that you'd recommend to people?
I don't think e-com brands is where I would go. I think, you know, the kind of golden age of e-com and Shopify is done. I owned a lot of Shopify stock and I've sold most of it. You know, there's still a lot of room to play, but the easiness of building an e-com brand on the back of Facebook ads is just no longer a reality for even brands that have been around for 10 years and brands that are just starting now. So, you know, you could certainly do that 100%, but I would focus probably more on like software, going after like a lot of like no code SaaS tools, or like coaches. Like there's a lot of people that are becoming like coaches and advisors and consultants. So, you know, creating, you know, an email marketing tool or community building tool for them. Lead gen is always evergreen, you know, finding a niche inside of lead gen, whether it's for, you know, local small businesses or consultants or agencies themselves. Like I would start a lead gen agency or a community building agency for agencies to get leads for their own agency. I mean, like there's definitely still money to be made in e-com, but it's harder to create a community. It's harder to optimize email flows when there's not a whole lot of traffic being driven from Facebook ads that's converting. I guess on the other side of that, as I'm talking out loud, like email marketing is probably the one thing I would do. Like setting up amazing Klaviyo flows and optimizing emails for e-com brand is probably the only agency I would start today in the e-com space.
Yeah, that makes sense. And kind of, so you mentioned actually earlier, like even email for yourself, your own personal brand. How are you like using that right now? Because a lot of people, you know, it's just a great place if you have a personal brand to monetize. It's like one of the best, right? So how are you kind of approaching that? Are you doing like a weekly email newsletter? I know you've got like the five tips to get people to sign up. How are you kind of approaching that?
Yeah, so I think this is, if I understand your audience correct, I think this story will really help your audience and everyone listening to this podcast. So when I sold my agency, my plan was to launch kind of like an introductory marketing course, like intro to growth marketing course, because I have almost 100,000 followers across all my channels. And I spent 2 weeks, I counter blocked 2 weeks. Originally I counter blocked a week and then I got sick. And then I counter blocked 2 weeks off to create this course, 5 hours worth of content, marketing 101, growth marketing 101. And I launched the course and I got very few signups. It didn't do nearly as well as I expected it to. And I wrote tweets about it, TikToks about it, Instagrams about it. And I got like almost no signups compared to 100,000. Like I expected, you know, a couple hundred signups, like, you know, 1-2% conversion rate out of my 100,000 followers across everything. And I got like, you know, way less than 100. But what I noticed was all of the sales that I got came from my email list. And I spoke to a mentor and the mentor said, you know, followers rarely see your content. Like when you open up Twitter, when you open up Instagram, when you open up LinkedIn, and even less so on TikTok, only about 10 to 20% of your followers are going to see your content. But if you have an email newsletter and you're sending them an email newsletter, you know, every day or every week or every month, they're much more consistent in seeing your content and you're building that brand affinity with your content and with your personal brand a lot more. And so immediately I changed my LinkedIn bio from the course, and I changed all of the tweets and all of the TikToks from promoting the course to promoting my newsletter. So like literally as soon as I got off the phone with my mentor, you know, the week of the launch, like a couple of days after launch, I bought growthhacksweekly.com. I rebranded the newsletter from like Marketing Max's newsletter to Growth Hacks Weekly. And I just started tweeting and TikToking and even running some ads to try to get more newsletter subscribers. And now I send an email out every Sunday night with a new growth hack. And at the bottom, I just mentioned like, hey, if you want to grow faster, check out this course. It's $200. And I've gotten, you know, every week I get anywhere between like 2 to 10 purchases of the news of the course every week from the newsletter. And that's been like by far my biggest learning lesson with Marketing Max, actually, as like in whole, not even like how to go viral on Twitter, how to go viral on TikTok. My biggest lesson is every single personal brand should be focused on one thing when they're starting out. And that one thing is building up a newsletter. It's the best way to monetize your audience, whether you're selling them something. If you have a niche audience, you can charge for ad spots in your newsletter, and people are paying a ton of money these days for newsletter ad sponsorships because Facebook ads is more expensive and trickier to find success with. So it's just like my number one thing right now is like, you know, how do I grow my newsletter up to 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 subscribers to promote my course, but also to promote some of the software projects I'm working on. Eventually, I'll probably come out with like a pro version where you'll get access to like special content or gated content. But that's kind of my biggest lesson. And that's how I think, you know, any personal brand, any content creator should be, you know, monetizing and using email. You need a weekly email newsletter. It's got to be good content. It doesn't have to be game-changing content. You don't need to spend, you know, a whole day every week writing, you know, a 5-paragraph essay. But that's my best piece of advice to other content creators, and especially to your question, which I think started this whole thing off, which is like, how should content creators or personal brands use email? You need a weekly email newsletter. Even if you have 100 subscribers, it's so like 100 subscribers is more valuable than 1,000 followers on Twitter or 1,000 followers on Instagram or any other platform. It's the most valuable thing. So long as your open rates stay high and your content is good, that should be your number one focus.
So in summary, yeah, using like your social platforms as a top of the funnel and then email marketing as the vehicle to monetize. Yeah, that's perfect, man. It makes sense. So I know you've kind of, you've got to go, but I appreciate you coming on, man. Finally, where can people check you out? Where can people, like, what do you have to offer them? Just, yeah, spill, yeah, plug what you got.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I'm marketing Max on Twitter and TikTok and my newsletter. Like, that's what I'm going to plug. I mean, yeah. growthhacksweekly.com. If you just go to growthhacksweekly.com or go to Marketing Max on TikTok or Twitter and click my link in bio, sign up for my weekly newsletter. You know, within a month of launching the weekly newsletter as Growth Hacks Weekly, I was featured by Forbes. I didn't even ask for this. Some guy just randomly DM'd me and was like, hey, you know, we just featured you in Forbes as a top 16 marketing newsletters that people need to subscribe to. So the content's good. I promise you the content is good. Every week I drop, you know, one growth hack. Could be about copywriting, could be about Facebook ads, could be about, you know, lead generation, e-commerce. Like it's different every week. And then I also mention three things that happened in the marketing world as kind of news snippets that are important to know that I think kind of went under the radar from the previous week at the bottom of my newsletter. So growthhacksweekly.com. In the next couple of weeks, I'm launching a referral program. So if you invite friends, you'll be entered to win like a 45-minute growth coaching session with me. If you invite a few more friends, you might get access to my How to Go Viral on TikTok playbook. But yeah, it's just growthhacksweekly.com. That's the place to be.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, guys, check it out. Max, appreciate you coming on. You got it. And yeah, see you in the next episode. Thanks, guys. Man. See ya.